You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryan here on LA Talk Radio.
I invite you to join me as we explore new ideas. I'm David Bryan. Welcome to Curiosity Invited. Okay. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Curiosity Invited. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with a friend and a former colleague, actually, as Bernard Fritsch. He is the gentleman on the screen with the cool glasses, as opposed to me and my nerdy glasses.
There you go, David. I like him, actually.
So Bernard, if you haven't heard the name, Bernard Fritsch is a German-born inventor, entrepreneur, and founder of numerous tech ventures over the years. We are going to be diving deeply into his current and most recent endeavor called i3 Operations, i3 Ops. But over the years, Bernard has accumulated numerous patents, technology patents, including inventions related to digital media, music and video, video conferencing, social media analytics, etc. And his most recent and current foray into the tech world, the tech jungle, is about artificial intelligence. So Bernard, thank you so much for being willing to give up time. And Bernard is not only German-born, but he is coming to us from Germany. So so welcome, and thanks for being willing.
Well, thank you for having me, David. You know, it has been a while, but it's always good to see you and to be on your amazing podcast here. You know, I mean, I think we can do some damage going through the technology jungle. You know.
Yes, exactly. It is. Yeah. It does seem like it is. It is frequently a jungle, you know, where maybe jungle is the wrong metaphor, but it's like the Wild West, and then things settle down. And right now, especially in the AI space, it feels like the Wild West. It is quite something.
I mean, I think what we're seeing is that AI and I think the general development of the last 10, 15 years are kind of changing the structure of democracy. You know, I mean, I really think, you know, the big companies have basically taken over, offered their service for free. People have no money to use it. And all of a sudden, you know, 4 or 5 billion people are depending on five operators, you see.
Right.
And so I think that has started, you know, and then a long time ago, but right now it comes to a amazing point where one thinks, you know, hold on, where are we right now, you know? And that I think is now accelerated with AI. And the new AI, and you see all of a sudden how the various operators are thinking. You know, the one is a real thinker, the other one is more, you know, only interested in money. And so there's a lot of conflicts with, I think, mankind's thinking. Yeah. You know, everybody's different. Yeah.
Well, let's back up before we get there. But I think that's exactly where we want to go. And just for the sake of I can't, for the audience, I can't imagine that anybody doesn't know about AI, or at least know of it, and know that, you know, I suspect they hear about or heard about ChatGPT, 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 and that's certainly the word that's out there, and I also think it's worthwhile. There's a lot of fretting. There's a lot of fretting and hand-wringing and worry about AI. And some of it feels like science fiction, and some of it feels like, oh, maybe that's something to worry about. So I mean, tell me what you think about this, that the fretting, as I see it, are sort of along several dimensions. And I wonder what you think about that. That's, you know, one is AI will be taken over by, there'll be a bad actor, right? Somebody who wants to use an ever-evolving intelligence to do bad things, whether it's theft or damage or, you know, or undermining various systems that will depend on. So that's one. Another is this sort of, the sort of, I guess it goes under the umbrella of the alignment issue, right? The question of whether artificial intelligence is aligned with human well-being, right? And especially if the, you know, everybody's fantasy is to produce AGI, right? Artificial general intelligence, you know, a system that will have its own whims and its own desires and its own experiences, rather than it being simply a very sophisticated calculator, and that those experiences, those whims, those wishes of the artificial intelligence will for whatever reason not be aligned with human well-being. So that's another worry. And then just not even the bad actor conversation, but that it can be used by a variety of organizations, institutions, corporations, government entities that will do things with it that we won't like, that people won't like. So is that a fair, am I giving you a fair umbrella of, you know, the worries about AI?
No, I think this a fantastic opener, you know, to a global situation that we all of a sudden entering that we haven't really seen before, never seen before, an acceleration of things, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living obviously in the super cycle this year, where every day, next day is whatever, I don't know, exponentially faster than the day before.
Yes.
So you need to make peace with that. Otherwise, you're not catching up. And that is, you know, certainly coming through artificial intelligence, because it's, what it really does is processing things that we as humans have done since ever, you know, with a pen and a piece of paper, and then with a personal computer, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, and, you know, internet and social media, and, you know, word processors and whatnot. So we're putting basically our life together that way. It's just that we still had to put pieces together in order to write a great summary about something, right? And so right now, with the large language modules, you know, the LLMs, you know, it's you just punch in and say, you know, I want to know about this and this, or write me a summary about that, or I need a, you know, a business plan for this, and you have it in about 20, 30 minutes, you know, if you give the right instructions, right? I mean, you still need to have the brains. I mean, I just don't want to exclude that. The machine does that, what you tell the machine, but it's going to be, everything is going extremely fast. So I think, you know, you were looking at my notes, you were saying the first thing was the use or abuse of I mean, look, I mean, we're, you know, as you know, I'm a big promoter of using technology and software to improve our life, you know, to do something great for mankind. And that's what we're doing all of our life, really. And so, and I think that's cool, right? And there are many other people like that out there. But with AI, you also can, you know, you can damage the system quite a bit, you know, and you could, you know, damage the humankind, I should rather say, than mankind. And, you know, and it's just a, and you could, you know, ruin structures as I said before, democratic structures and, you know, and influence the world any which way, you know, at the end of the day, that certain people that have certain AI, they can do whatever they want. And that's, I think, a massive danger. And it's a huge problem that we're facing. And that's sort of, you know, the thing. I mean, am I using the tool for something really great, you know, or am I using it to ruin everything, you know?
Right. And I mean, yeah. that in and of itself is not a new problem, right? I mean, we see it all the time.
All the time.
I mean, a gun or a bow and arrow can you be used to for people to hunt food? Or, I mean, I'm a vegan. That doesn't apply to me, but it can be used. It can be used for good, and it can be used for bad. A car, right? You know, you could use a car to get from here to there and not have to take weeks to get there, or you can drive it into a crowd of people you don't like.
And that's right.
So that problem is both real and not new. It may be new because of the potential scope and power of this particular tool, AI, but the what do you do about bad actors problem is something the human beings have faced before, and sometimes successfully and sometimes not. So
I if you don't mind, I'd like to jump right into it. And please. That is really, you know, the number one thing is the deployment of agent, you know, artificial intelligence agents. And
so explain what that is for people who don't know.
Well,
right?
it's basically somebody that helps you to do whatever you tell them to do. You know what I mean? It can order stuff for you online. It can clean up your desk, I mean, your desktop on the computer. Yeah. It can do your tax return. It can have a dialogue with your friends, you know, with your business partner. And, you know, it's a thing that the agent is basically just as good as you train the agent, but training means telling them what to do. But the artificial intelligence agent as such is like extremely, it's bright and fast, you know what I mean? Because, you know, all the data that we have collected over the last thousands of years, you know, is in that brain of that little agent. So for instance, right here, like, you know, companies that are in the enterprise business and they have call centers, right? There's like about 3,000 people in the call center. So I don't want to say the brand, but a big company, you know, they're just, you don't need to replace the call center with agents. So the 3,000 people are getting replaced, completely replaced. They all lose their job by 100 agents. Mm-hmm. You know, right. And the agents talk like people on the phone or this and that and the other and solve the client's issues, right? So that is sort of what an agent can do. The danger is really when the agents starting to talk among themselves, right? Let's say you have an agent and I have one and whatever, or let's say you and your wife have an agent and all of a sudden they're making plans. You know what I mean? So I think this is becoming a very complicated issue. And that is possibly still manageable. But what's not manageable is if agents from various countries or various operations are starting to communicate with each other and making decisions and get making programmed.
Decisions, could you stop making decisions independent of the human being that created them?
Well, that is exactly what this is exactly what, you know, we're observing right now, right? That the agents are, in that sense, for the lack of the better term, so bright, much more than a normal computer, that they might have their own ideas. I mean, you see now today when you put a sentiment or request into an AI processor. How the AI processor is quickly understanding what you really mean and expresses it a lot better than you do and puts back information that is, could be idiotic, but for the most part, if you put the sentiment in or information properly, it's pretty good from if the data is available, which is another thing we need to talk later about. But I do see the agent can, that's the right word, be completely autonomous all of a sudden. You see what I'm saying? And that is what I'm criticizing. And And the Google guys are criticizing it too, which I like, because if anybody in the world understands, you know, data and processing, it's Sergey Brin and Larry Page, yeah? And they're criticizing it too, because you need to, software can do everything, David, you know? And it depends on what we're doing with these agents. But now there is software, AI out there to program the agent, and the agent is programmed by somebody that might not really understand all the problems that he or she is putting in there. Mm-hmm. And that agent goes, you know, bananas. And that is, I think, a real problem. And, you know, and I think the main problem is that the tools are getting available for everybody. And so we can, you know, there are now tools out there like ours, but there's tools that there are no tools really out there to control it unless we are having operators that are intelligent enough to program these agents that they're not going off the cliff, right. You know.
Well,
that's really a simple explanation, you know.
Yeah. Can we just point at that for a second, in that one of the things I probably should have read in that first list of problems, and it's a little stunning, and I know we've spoken about this a bit before, but the idea that AI is constantly, you know, first of all, it's constantly teaching both. We are teaching it and it's teaching itself. We're asking it to get better, and it is on a mission to get better. And it's doing this in the wild, right? It's doing this, you know, be like what we spoke about it the other day. You know, you've got a new bacteria, a new virus, a new species of plant, and you want to see if it fits into the environment. And so you do this in the Amazon rainforest rather than doing an experiment in a lab before you sort of release it into the wild. And that it is an amazing decision to me. It seems so wrongheaded to do that, to take this thing, which I mean, I've heard in various interviews, I've heard the folks who seem to know what they're doing say they don't really understand why and how it's gotten so much better so quickly. They don't understand. So if they don't, I mean, and yet they're doing it in the wild. They've released it on the internet. And it's building itself. They're building it with feedback out there. And it seems like a crazy idea.
Yeah.
Just exactly like I said, like, you know, would you release a new species into the Amazon rainforest, not knowing how it's going to take over, what it's going to kill, how it's going to disturb the ecosystem, what species it's going to prey on? It's just bizarre.
Harry, it's extremely bizarre, and you know, and that brings it back to the point. You know, we're over 8 billion people, and everybody can train their agent any which way they want. And as I said before, but the agents are coming from somewhere. You know, they're not coming. The 8 billion users are not creating the agents. They're created by software companies, you know, and technology companies. And I, you know, and all I'm saying is, you know, the days that we're creating guidelines are over. Okay. The days of democracy in this business is over. You know, there is no United Nations of technology. You know, we were hoping for that, but forget it. Yeah. So what's really going on that basically the big companies, you know, and the mid-sized companies too. I mean, look, the company I'm talking about is maybe number 10 on the list, right? Deploying agents, you know, and they have some engineer deploying the agents. You know, engineers doesn't really know much about any rules or regulation or what this thing can do. His job is just to replace the call center with 3,000 people with 100 agents. That's all he needs to do. And that, and I'm scratching my head on that. I mean, I don't think that these people don't feel responsible or anything. It's out of control for me. You know, I can't even grasp on that. And that's, we're just scratching the surface, David, you know?
Yes.
And this gets worse and worse, but just that little example is I really think is, not think, I know is the responsibility of the companies, you know, right. or the operators. Right. And the great thing is we could do a better job, you know? I mean, right. you can do with software anything. I mean, it's just the days where you need to, whatever, 100 people, you know, in an office to get one thing done is over. You can do everything you want. Mm-hmm. And that's really, we need to understand that too. And since we're able to do anything we want, we need to, you know, we need to figure out what the tools and toys are. I mean, the thing is, I mean, look at it. I mean, there's a lot of dangerous tools out there, but not everybody has it. You know, look at the atomic bomb, you know what I mean? Or you know, right. I mean, we're trying for many years to keep that under control, you know? And, right. And so in here, nobody gives a flying fuck, you know? And that's, wow. Yeah. I'm just like, whoa, well, you know? Yeah.
I want to, this is a perfect segue. You said, you know, you're scratching your head about this. And I just want to point out, you're not just scratching your head, which is really the reason for, as I understand it, i3ops, your current company, because mm-hmm. you're doing, or at least you're attempting to do much more than scratch your head because, and yeah. So can we start to narrow it or zero in on that? What is it that i3ops does, wants to do, et cetera?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So 8 years ago, you know, originally I had this idea. Do you want to do something? You know, when you're developing technologies, you know, and stuff that I do and we do since now almost 35, 40 years, you know, I thought, you know, at this stage, we know really exactly what we're doing. And I do something that's great for the planet, it's great for humankind, you know. And so I started in the beginning with just trying to find, you know, if somebody, you know, in, you know, I was always upset that, you know, if somebody has a great product and it never sees the light of the day, you know, it just was really confused by that. And so like a song, you know, like you and I would write a song and, you know, and nobody's interested in it. So I was creating a machine, an artificial intelligence machine in 2018. And we got the Edison Award for that in 2019 that really would find those people that would really like our song. You know, maybe there's whatever 2,000 people in Australia that would like a song that you and I wrote. So I think that is totally missing right now. And I felt, you know, so I tried to connect this, but on that journey to connect the dots, I developed what's called, you know, an analysis tool that is really understanding social media behavior, or in general human behavior, but also AI agent behavior. And that is sort of the big answer to the current problem, but also in general. So what is really going on here? So we are basically, from public data in the first place, are understanding, you know, social media behavior. That means in our example, we are understanding who will like our song because we just punch in the sentiment and whatnot, and we will find out of the 4.5 billion social media users exact those 10 people who like that song.
Maybe you should write the song by yourself. It'll get more abused.
That's not an easy task, David. You know, you could spend with a record company and whatnot millions of dollars, and you don't find one single thing. You know, so once you think that through, and then we created the product called AIMS, Artificial Intelligence Maintaining Safety, and that is
AIMS, AIMS, Artificial Intelligence.
Maintaining safety. Yeah.
Got it.
AIMS. And it got another tagline in the last 3 years called AIMS AI for Humanity. Yeah. And like, you know, so because what it does, it's AIMS maintaining AI maintaining safety. What it really does, you can put into the dashboard. Let's say I want to know whatever type of terrorists are in America, right? I just wanted to know that right now and what their plan is. And then the social media behavior tool goes around, you know, and identifies through the identification or analysis of neural networks, you know, exactly that what you're looking for. That means a whole bunch of terrorists. And then you understand through their social media behavior what their intent is. Yeah. And okay. and that's so different than what everybody else does, because it also now looks back from each person what they have done and said in the last 5 years and what they've done in the last 6 months, you know, and it has an emotional analysis in there and has a response tool in there. And all of a sudden you see these guys are planning an attack. Yeah. And it says that with an extremely high precision. So, you know, in that sense, you could say, and it's also a live feed, you know, it's not like, you know, you have all the data from the past, but also you have a live feed into the system. And, you know, okay, these guys are really planning something. Then you can send in an agent, you know, and try to talk them out of it, you know, I mean, psychologically trained agent, you know, and, you know, they wouldn't really recognize that's an agent. They think it's one of them, right?
You mean,
if that doesn't work, you know, then you can take maybe some physical action. But you see the event coming, you see, and that I think is massively interesting.
Okay, so let's back. I'm doing this for the people who you know are hearing this for the first time. The AI. Aims, right? The AI is sort of scans social media. It's not digging into anybody's personal records. This is all public information. It's out there. You could see it. If you go to Facebook, you go to LinkedIn, you go to wherever you go.
Yeah.
It's the information that the person has posted and, or the activities that are public and it puts together, it has a, it's looking for certain sorts of things. So people who joined a website that, you know, is Nazi adjacent or white supremacist adjacent, white supremacist, or people who have ordered books that, that have a certain attitude that seems sketchy or have for looking around for guns or looking around for a certain time, how to purchase chemicals that you could build a bomb with, whatever. It's not saying they are doing those things, but it's looking for that information. And then, and this is my understanding of how this could work. So correct me if I'm wrong, but then it's like what artificial intelligence does. It takes that information live, fresh information, and puts together like if these things happen, if this person was first reading these books and then they went to this meeting and then they bought tickets to go to see that speaker and then they started looking for guns and then they started buying chemicals, blah, 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 blah. Ooh, that's an interesting profile. That is a profile that might predict, doesn't necessarily guarantee, but it might predict bad behavior. Right. Terrorist behavior, criminal behavior, whatever. And it does that in short order. It doesn't have to wait 5 years to do this. It can do this. It's very fast. It's AI. So it's very fast.
Yeah.
And then that information. Okay. What if, so somebody hears that and I think the first thing that comes to mind, remember that fabulous movie? I thought it was a fabulous movie, Minority Report, where they, Tom Cruise and they're, in the movie, you know, suddenly somebody was arrested for all these behaviors as opposed to, and you're not suggesting that, but creating a profile that, and it's something that needs to be looked into.
Yeah.
Right? It's not guilt. It's a profile that makes you curious. Who knows? Maybe it's a professor who is studying terrorism And not being a terrorist. So it's not making a judgment that this person is a terrorist or is participating in terrorism, but it's saying this is a profile that is of interest for that reason, because it could be dangerous. Yeah?
Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. You couldn't have said it better. And, exactly this example that I keep on bringing on with that shooter several years ago in Calabasas. You know, it was a guy, you know, and you see on the graphs, you know, he starts drinking, he's getting angry, you know, he's getting normal again, he hangs out with his dog and he drinks again, and, you know, has a problem with a girlfriend and he's normal again. So it goes, you know, you see.
This is all information that is publicly posted in some way.
Yeah, there's no private data. It's all publicly available, right? So, you know, and the thing is, we could do it too, but we don't have 4 billion people that follow 4 billion people. You know what I mean? So just AI allows us to do that, you know, and I think that's great in that context. Yeah. And so, you know, and then whatever, the guy is getting angry again, he drinks again, you know, see the emotional graph getting dark red, you know, he's buying a gun, he shoots a hole in his mom's apartment. You know, it's a true story, right? And so he's getting normal again, and then all of a sudden his girlfriend gives him a hard time, and she tells him she goes out to this club in Calabasas, and he goes there and he becomes this shooter, this club shooter. Yeah. And so, I mean, they don't need to be the rocket scientist that you see this is going really into a very negative direction, right? And you also have lead time to see when this is going to happen. It's not like, you know, I mean, the news right now on television are telling you things that are happening and that happened in the past, you know. So what this does is it tells you what's going to happen in the future. And I think that's interesting if we can improve our life. You know, it's interesting for maintaining safety in this context. But it can be also not good, you know, if it's abused, you know.
Well, It's I think the other thing, and maybe I'm just being Pollyanna, I don't think so, but people don't necessarily know what path they're on, right? Somebody, when I was running a school, we had a policy about certain sorts of behaviors that were, look, if we notice certain sorts of behaviors that suggest the possibility of drug use or something like that, we will get involved. Now, get involved meant maybe it means having a conversation with a student, have a conversation with the student's parents, right? We will get involved. And so there's this other element of it's potentially beneficial to the person who's on that path. Now, maybe it won't work, but, You know, there are four psychologists in your area that you might consider having a conversation with about your anger.
Yeah.
So doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be the Gestapo rushing in, dropping from the ceiling and arresting somebody or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's really an amazing, if it's real and deployable, it could be a wonderful tool.
Well, it is a wonderful tool. I mean, we tested it and everything, you know. It just has this beautiful advantage that you just said. You know, you can solve all these issues. You can see them coming, you know, and you can, you know, solve them either with an agent that's a psychiatrist, psychologist, or in a physical person. You know, I mean, you can do so many things to improve life, you know, and not let the... and do not wait until you don't know and something bad happens. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm a dad of five boys. I don't want to get a call and say, you know, this happened, you know, while you, Mr. Fritch, and I say, well, no. You know, it's just, you don't want that, you know.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah, exactly. You know? So, You know, so that's what I think is really extremely positive with predictive data and immediate intelligent response, because the agent is also the agent that could respond to a situation like this or to a person like this is, in that sense, in your example, it could be, it could be trained by a psychologist, and they would respond in a fraction of a second. You know what I mean? And they can do it with all the schools around the world, you know, and that I think is that what we can't do. We just can't manage that because, you know, but we can deploy it. And that's why I think that is a fantastic tool, you know, in order to make the world a better place, you know.
Oh, so can I ask one question? Oh, no, go ahead. You finish.
I'm just saying this is just one or two applications, you know, of, on analyzing, you know, the intent or predicting events, you know, and having immediate response and, you know, from the feed of live data. It's just you know, you can apply it as, you know, many applications, you know.
So can you talk about others that might be of interest to people?
Yeah, I think so, because one is certainly our health. You know, I mean, our health, I think, is we're all pretty health cognizant and very interested in health, at least. I know you do and I do. And, you know, and so, you know, you can work with a predictive data system the same way. And that gets us into private data, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that's not solved, you know, in the general AI business. But, you know, if you get, you know, an app and say, you know, I dump in all my medical data, and the system, you know, reviews your blood labs and this and that and the other, and sees, you know, the opinion of thousands of doctors, you know, where this could go and what you should do. I think this would be a fantastic tool for preventative medicine and all these things, you see. And it's just not about being able to do it. It's about the private data of medical data. But if it's my data, I can do with it what I want, right? But I put it into a platform of somebody else, you see? And that is where I think the AI companies, at least we solved it, they need to solve that too. If somebody puts in some private data and the results of that, that needs to be theirs, and it shouldn't be with, a company like it is with Google right now. I mean, if you, you know, or, you know, sending a couple of Gmails out and say you're looking for a health insurance, you can be sure that for 5 days you get an advertisement for health insurance. That's the deal. You know, that's why it's for free, and that's why, and you sign up for it, and that's why it's legally correct. But, you know, when it comes to private data and stuff, I think it's just not correct anymore. You know, and these are sensitive data, and from that point of view, we will be doing, you know, in the health sector and in the future of well-being of mankind or humankind, as you said, you know, and stem cell and whatnot, all of this was predictive data, you know, and that's what we really do. All of this is positive, right? But there's also negative aspects.
Right. You know, you just used the term, and I'm curious, predictive AI, right? Isn't all AI, I mean, right now, like ChatGPT or whatever the tool, isn't it still at the level of it's predicting in all sorts of ways? It's always predicting the next word, right? Right. And so there's always, it is. So what's the difference in terms of predictive power? With what you're doing and what's already out there being done? Is it the data? Is it the intent of the company?
There's two major distinctions here. So what the large language modules are doing, they're taking data that's available. You know, they're not predicting anything for the future. They're just taking data that's available. That means you can do your tax return with it. You know, you could write a business plan with it. You can write a summary. So it is working with data, whatever you give it from you personally or what it finds, you know, basically on public data through the internet and whatnot. And so that is that's what LLMs do, large language modules. You know, they're basically putting this together and rapidly process this in a way, you know, and also how they are programmed by the operators. You know, usually when you give it the right instructions and work with it a little bit, you're getting an amazing product. There's no question about it. But, you know, that's not going into the future. There's no predictive data in these systems by any stretch. And they're not using any of the tools that we're using or any of the sort of artificial intelligence that we have developed. And that is this. For instance, put into an existing, you know, ChatGPT or Cloud or whatever, Anthropy, you know, just ask him what's the next president of the United States, right? And a good AI system will tell you that it doesn't really know. Yeah. A bad AI system is giving you all sorts of excuses why it doesn't know it. You know?
I've definitely run into that.
But, not but about it the doesn't president. Study. It doesn't study what the current president is doing. It doesn't study what the Democrats are doing. It doesn't study anything, you know, psychologically. It doesn't. It just can report what it is, but it doesn't have the predictive element, you know, to really see, you know, because of this happened then and then. So you the probability, you know, you can calculate with these 6, 7, 8, 9 different modules a probability where this would go, you know, and you can also say if this happens, then it's not happening, you know. You can describe the future to a certain degree, and with that, I mean. That's also where the election's coming in, which is another beast. But I'm just trying to encourage everybody to put this in, you know, who's the next president of the United States, and you will see what a real AI system is and whatnot, or who's an honest AI system is or not. Yeah. Right? So that's a big one. But you also can ask more fair questions, what's going to happen, let's say here or there, you know, in the next 48 hours, right? And there will be, it can't be an answer, and because it's not processing, it's not delivering predictive data by any stretch, you know, not none of the current large language modules, you know, and that's what we intuitively were developing 8 years ago and deploy it right now because we know it's important to have and understand what people's intent is, you know, and also understand and use that properly, you know, for maintaining safety, for health, you know, for schools, as you say, whatever. I think this is all extremely wonderful, but also, as I said before, and I'm sure I wasn't clear enough, it also sees the intent of those so-called AI agents. You know, of everybody.
Yes, I wanted to get back to that. Exactly. Okay. So the system that i3ops developed can do the same thing it does with the various data that it gets from social media or wherever to with AI agents. With AI systems, it can monitor and predict actions of AI systems themselves, of other AI systems.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, you know, remember we were talking about the shooter that went to the club, right?
Yes.
And it's you know, and let's say that it wasn't the shooter, it was an AI agent out there. You know, it wasn't the shooter, it wasn't a terrorist group. Or terror group was a, you know, it was just a, you know, an AI agent from David Bryan. You know, and you know, and if this AI agent all of a sudden does something that you didn't want him to do, it to do, it's an it, and want it to do, you know,
how
a system
would it do
like
that?
This,
how?
You, so it's the analysis of predictable data of social media behavior. I mean, we call it social media behavior. It's really all behavior, but on social media, is where the action is. This is where the agents are. This is where people are. This is where 4.5 billion people are, right?
Right, right.
And that's how it does it. And if you think a little bit sort of mathematically or rather abstract like a computer, you know, if we're able to do this with humans, we can do it with AI agents too, right? Because you see exactly what their intent is, because we can also analyze what they did do in the last seconds and hours and days. And it's just exactly the same analytical process, David, you know? And so, it's not only going like approximately, it just goes to the T, you know?
How do you get access to AI behavior? Why is it
Social media behavior, you mean? Social media behavior?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so you get access to social media behaviors through social media data, you know, that is publicly available.
Of the agents, of the AI. Why isn't the AI keeping that private? Why would it make it public?
Well, because the AI agent works in public and does certain things in public. So what the AI agent does in private is a different story that gets us to the subject private data and public data, right?
Right.
And that's our big concern. Because, you know, products like ours, we can see the private data if we want to, and it's completely illegal. And I'm a master of, data protection and privacy protection, you know, and that's why I'm fighting this really hard. So I'm thinking if we can do it, others can do it too. And that's my big problem with all this stuff. Yeah. And so we're only analyzing public data and we're only working with public data, and public data is more than enough, you know, to, you know, avoid or see an intent of some criminals and avoid a catastrophic event. So that's cool, right? It's the same with the agents. You know, the agents are around, they're talking to people and whatnot. It's all public data so far. The private data is not really on the table at this stage, and it can't be because it's private data. The question remains now, if you give this system to a government, you know?
Yeah.
They unlock the private data. I mean, and then you have a problem.
Yeah. Right?
Think about it.
Yeah. So is it, how do you get out of this conundrum? This is a huge problem, right? Because the system that you've developed has these capacities, and yet, and how do you deploy it such that those capacities are not used in the wrong way? It's in some ways back to the place we started, which is bad actors. And maybe that bad actor is, you know, a bad individual with a black mustache twirling it that wants to blow up the world. Or maybe that bad actor is a government.
You know, I mean, look, this is, you know, for operators and entrepreneurs like us, I mean, the number one challenge are, one, the companies that are not taking care of these things, you know, as I explained before, and number two are government integrators that have the order by the government to abuse the system,
right?
And that's all going back to the non-democratic point. It's all about power. Yeah, it's all about power and money. And if this system allows me, or these systems, or the future system, I'm sure there will be others like ours, to manipulate, you know, humankind, that they do exactly what they want to do, the politicians, if they, foresee what, you know, the other party wants to do in the war and is tricking them out. I mean, it could be good if it's for a good cause. I mean, as I said before, you know, I mean, you know, if it goes against school shooters and club shooters and terrorists, you know, I think it's fantastic, you know. But if you, yes, you know, ruin the world with it, right, David? I mean, it's a total abuse. And you saw, if you don't mind, I mean, you saw what Dario is going through from Anthropic, right? I mean, you know, what's the difference really between Anthropic and OpenAI? And it's very simple. Dario is a thinker. He really thinks that
through. Just to be clear for people, right? Dario's, he's the CEO.
is the CEO of Anthropic, and he's a real thinker, you know, he's thinking these things through, and I feel he did an excellent job with that. He also puts an excellent product out in the market, so there's a lot of things to talk about business models, but that's a good business model and a good attitude that he has.
You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryant here on LA Talk Radio.